That's a good. I like it.
Well, it is 4:01, and you're tuned to KDNK. It's time again for Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host today, Raleigh Burley, joined by the one and only
Yesenia Benavides.
Burgos.
Yes.
Thanks, Yesenia, for being here, representing our Youth News Bureau. And today's topic for the show is the annual Ski for Sisu event benefiting the Mount Soprus Nordic Council. And we're returning to tradition with a one-day event as opposed to a week, maybe a week-plus event, as has been since COVID, I believe. And our guests today, we've got Elliot Norquist, who I believe is on the board of the Mount Soprus Nordic Council.
Yeah, both Rachel. And Rachel then, sort of is our boss.
Right, Rachel.
I don't think that's how that works.
Rachel Bachman, right?
Perkins,
who is the executive director, right? Cool, bossing her board around.
Yeah, that's right.
Rachel, why don't you tell us a little bit about how long you've been in that role?
Sure. So my position is still fairly new. I'm the first paid director for the Nordic Council, and that came about in the spring of 2024, so I'm about a year and a half in. And I had been on the board since 2016, so I've been involved for 2015, I think. So I've been involved for much longer than I've been in my current role. And it's an exciting time for the Nordic Council and for Spring Gulch. We have seen an incredible increase in use up there, which is great. We want to serve the community and be a resource for winter recreation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we are also noticing some pretty significant impacts of climate change that we needed to respond to. And so that began the wheels turning for what is now a capital campaign that we are nearing the end of to both respond to those impacts of climate change and create more resilience, mm-hmm. so that we can have great skiing up there in low snow years, and also to just enhance our foundation as far as improve our grooming operations and the foundation that supports them, so that we can, on a day-to-day level, also provide a better experience for our community.
We've had some stories this year, last year, about the new parking lot at Marion Gulch, as well as the new facility to store the snow cat. A lot of our contributors are people who enjoy Spring Gulch, as is myself. So tell us a little bit more about like what's left in that capital campaign. Like, what are the goals beyond having that facility to keep the machine and also the new parking lot?
Sure. So the building renovation is mostly complete, but we're still working to electrify the building. So increasing our power supply that's up there. We're fully off the grid. Cool. Not a lot of cell service, and running a power line would have been incredibly expensive, and so we're excited to have it be more green focused as far as our energy source. And so we're still developing how best to increase that supply so that we can think long term as far as not only meeting our current needs, but looking down the road as well. We also have some equipment that is ready to be replaced, mm-hmm. and so that's a piece of kind of that operations and foundational side of things. With the climate resilience, the goal is to make all of our trails easier to groom and have better skiing with less and less snow. So there's a lot of places where it's just small adjustments to tip a trail a couple degrees out of the sun and smooth it out to just have a better surface for grooming. Mm-hmm. And also responding to the drought impacts that we're seeing. So mm-hmm. we have a big die-off of aspen and mm-hmm. places where oak is being pretty impacted. And so we're working with Mike Unkefer of Western Vegetation Management, who has a lot of forestry background, to essentially manage the vegetation, the forest that's up there, so that we can regrow aspen and oak strategically, so that we are not only just improving the health of the land, but also ensuring that we are shading our trails and creating wind protection and with the benefit of also, you know, better forage for cattle in the summer, better wildlife habitat. And that stewardship will help us just retain our snowpack better because we have healthier vegetation surrounding them. So there's a lot of different pieces of it, and we're excited to keep working at it all.
So is a lot of that work done in the summer?
Yes. Yep. The forestry side of things, we do things, a lot of the cutting in the spring so that everything can, when you cut a lot of that vegetation, it sparks it to regrow, and then you have a little bit of summer precipitation and time for it all to respond, and that leads to a more healthier outcome for those groves.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. A good example of something that we've done extensively up there is wood chips. We've got all these tons and tons of wood chips that Mike Unkifer and others deliver up there to the snowmobile parking lot in the summer, and then we spread them on the trails that are southern facing so that there's an insulation between the snow and the ground once it starts to warm up, and those have been very effective in holding that snow more as time goes on. They make a funny sound when you go by, but they're pretty, it's already a very good thing. And then the way Mike Unkifer has laid these trails out, especially in the new trail system, is all sort of on the northern exposure of that little ridge between the Marion Road and Spring Gulch itself. So it's very interesting to see the growth for me, because I've been attached to this idea since the very inception. So I've seen a lot of changes.
When I saw, are we coming up on the 40th anniversary of Spring Gulch?
Yeah, it might be,
1986, the 86-87 season was the first year for the first official year for the Nordic Council. But there was skiing up there before. It just wasn't formalized to what it is now.
What did that look like in its inception?
Oh, I can talk about that. We were, in those days, all classic skiing. Nobody was skating. Mm-hmm. And we're talking 70s, mid-70s, late 70s. And we would ski in, break trail in to Marion. And we used Marion a lot more than we use it now, or anybody uses it now, just because there were very few snowmobiles that went up there in those days. Mm-hmm. And then we would go along the railroad grade, and we would come down Wagon Road and all those things. But those were all trail breaking, and I was working for the Rocky Mountain School at the time, and I would lead sport kids groups for winter sport. All kids at the Rocky Mountain School had to ski cross country for a part of the whole of the winter. So we had lots of groups up there, and we did other places too, but that was the main area.
Was that in partnership with the Cattlemen Association?
We never really had to ask them, but yes, it was. And probably the founder in terms of ideas was Chris Landry, who was a Rocky Mountain School student, and then, of course, came back and taught at the Rocky Mountain School, and he kind of he came up with this idea and presented it to Bob Perry, who was the president of the Cattlemen's in those days. Mm-hmm. And then I was living in New Mexico, and Bob Perry called me up and he said, "What do you think about this idea of having these people up there skiing on our ground during the winter?" He said, "I kind of like it, but what do you think?" And I said, "I think it's great." And that's when it started. I mean, it was way back. But that only was fun. And then David Powers, a glass blower teacher extraordinaire from the Rocky Mountain School, he had a Dodge Power Wagon, and he and I used to drive on Finlandia on the railroad grade and pull a track setter for Classic between the two tires of the Dodge Power Wagon.
Wow.
And those were the first tracks ever set up there.
It's come a long way.
Yeah.
And I think that's the original trail system was 8 kilometers about. And did that include Perry Pass?
No.
No.
We didn't ski over there. Yeah. Okay. No. We were just in and out of Marion and then back to the south towards out and back or towards Spring Gulch proper.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many kilometers of trail is there now?
Now we have over 28 kilometers of trail, which is incredible. And the growth, you can see the growth in our map because some things that were originally loops, such as Holden's and Little Dipper and a few of our other trails, are no longer loops now that we've added so many new trails. And so some people find it a little confusing.
It's a bit of a maze.
Yes. Yes.
There are a lot of Holden's.
There's a lot of sections that are Holden's. If you, when in doubt, assume you're on Holden's.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's some of the new trails that we've built, too, kind of preserving that history, were also old mining grades. And so it wasn't necessarily creating something from scratch. It was just reopening a passageway that already existed and was already relatively flat. And and that's why where on the Tipple Trail, you can ski past those old coke ovens or storage, or we're not totally sure what they were.
Coke
but
ovens.
Yes.
I'm sure.
We're sure, okay.
Because Will Perry and I went and harvested coke from right there where those are and burned it at his forge.
Okay.
So it's they had to make it there. They wouldn't have brought it in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's from there.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, I have a question, ahead. Sorry.
Sure.
So it seems like there's lots of history and lots of like old attachment, and you said something with like you've seen changes with climate change, and with all the preparations you guys are doing, how well is it looking for it long term?
Yeah, great question. So the last couple years, for better and for worse, have been a good test of some of the changes that we've been making. Both last year and this year, we received a big snowstorm right at the beginning of the season. This year, it was right before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We've never had Thanksgiving skiing before, and we did this year, which is super exciting. But then we didn't have any snow until the middle of December, really close to the holidays. And so what that the benefit of that is that we do get to see where are the places that are being threatened as far as, like, the southern exposure, and where are things melting. And with, for example, the wood chips that Elliot was mentioning, we can see, okay, well, last year we saw this, and then we added wood chips, and now we see this. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a good opportunity to kind of just evaluate where are the places that are melting first, what's causing that, what can we do about it, and then also just monitor the changes that we have made and see, are they effective or are they not effective?
Mm-hmm.
So.
For listeners,
our groomers, the groomers are up there almost daily, and there are many of them who have been more than 1 year grooming, and they know where those little hot spots are and everything and what that snow level looked like last year. And so a lot of that is kind of just watching the places that you remember as melting out and seeing if they're or melting out or not, like Jenny Lane, you know, so that's daily connection kind of observation. It's effective. It's good.
For listeners just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun, and our guests today are Rachel Bachman Perkins, who is the executive director of the Mount Soper's Nordic Council, and we also have Elliot Norquist, who's been a part of Spring Gulch since the beginning.
Yeah.
And it, you know, takes money to do these things, and so we're coming up on the big fundraiser for the Spring Gulch ski area. Tell us a little bit about how Ski for Sisu got started. I'm curious how long this has been a tradition.
Well, my recollection is that Paul Lapala, who was one of the founders of Spring Gulch, and also, I mean, he was first on the board, and then he was Finnish. He was part Finnish, and he went to Finland often.
Mm-hmm.
And they and he came up with that term from Finland and came back and said, let's create a fundraiser, or let's create an idea in which, you know, we get people to contribute to certain number of laps or kilometers that people ski, and raise it and call it Ski for Sisu.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sisu means in Finnish, well, my definition is, and we could all have our takes on it, is grit. You know, it's like ski for grit, ski for, you know, your like endurance, ski for determination, ski for all that. And I think ski for the joy of skiing. And it's so much fun to have the community up there of all ages and people flying by and people crawling along and people talking. It's just way cool. It's one of the best events of the year, for sure.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah. There's a big barbecue.
Yeah.
After event, mm-hmm. Fat Belly Burgers.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And the idea is people get pledges, right, per kilometer.
Exactly.
From their network, and mm-hmm. then they ski as hard as they can, as long and far as they can.
Yeah.
So, and the pledge collection is optional. So if people don't feel comfortable asking for money, which mm-hmm. is fine, it's optional to participate in that component of it. Our main priority is just getting as many people out on the trails mm-hmm. as possible that day, because it is, like Elliot is saying, it's so fun. It's not about speed. It's your own personal challenge. For some people, that might be one 12.5K loop. For some people, that might be, I know that there's a kid that's going to try to do 100K this year.
Wow.
So
it's never been done before.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we've had 70K.
No, I think Corbin Carpenter hit 100K once.
Did he?
Yeah.
Last year or two years ago?
Maybe.
100K.
100K, which is a lot of laughs.
60 miles.
Yes. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter how far you go or how fast you go. It's more about getting out there and participating and being part of what makes Spring Gulch possible is really the ultimate message.
And so, costumes.
Yes, costumes are great. And we have a silent auction going at the base, and we've got lots of local businesses that have contributed to that. So all kinds of outdoor clothing, restaurant gift cards, yoga passes, hot springs passes, all kinds of stuff that'll be featured in that silent auction. I'm going to be teaching classic lessons, and Lena Sutro, who is the daughter of one of our longtime board members and has been a professional skier, she's teaching skate lessons.
Cool.
So there's all kinds of stuff going on as part of this CSU event. But it's just so fun to just get out. You can go as slow as you want, so you can talk while you're out there. We'll have an aid station at Paul's Point, so you can recharge, and I think it's just so fun that, you know, you're interacting with all these people over a shared passion for cross-country skiing and a desire to support Spring Gulch, and that just adds this fun spirit and atmosphere to it. And then when you get done skiing and you're nice and hungry, we have the grill nice and hot. Our board president is flipping Fat Belly Burgers and veggie burgers, and we've got all kinds of sides and treats and things like that, so that you can soak in the effort that you just put in to go the distance. So it's a really fun event, and we hope as many people as we can get up there will come and join us.
Important to note, that's on February 9th, which is a Sunday.
Yeah. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl
and
Sunday.
By the way, the Chiefs are going to win.
So,
and it goes from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Yep, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's always Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
And it's done at 2 p.m. because Elliot needs to go watch the Super Bowl. So, and you're nice and hungry. You can enjoy all the Super Bowl snacks and sit on the couch.
What a great way to spend the morning. So you said 9 to 2. Okay. Yeah.
And the barbecue will probably be going from like 11 to 2. Mm-hmm. So we'll get that started a little later so people have a chance to ski.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what do people need to do if they want to sign up and participate for that?
So the sign up is on our website at springgulch.org. I think it's also included in the Soper Sun article that came out this week. Mm-hmm. And we've been sharing it in our email newsletter and Facebook, Instagram, all those kinds of things. So when you sign up, you do automatically get a fundraising page for yourself that you can send that link. So that, you know, if you want your friends or family or coworkers to give $10 or whatever it is, mm-hmm. You can customize it and send it out and make it pretty easy to do that. But it is optional for you to do that. There's no requirement to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have different pricing options for adults. We have a family price. So if you're, you know, parents coming with kids, there's a family price available. And we also do a $5 member discount. So Mount Soper Sonora Council members can enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Well, important to note the membership model as well, because that also helps keep it groomed and so well maintained for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a great crew of groomers that keep us going.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some pretty awesome Mount Soper Nordic Council buffs. that were designed. A lot of people have the Skeeta hat that we came out with a couple years ago, and that's a custom print that was made for us by Bailey Haynes of Pine Street Prints. She's did an incredible job with that. So we're bringing that print back on a buff, so if you come participate in Sisu, you can get one of those, or you can choose a pair of Nordic Council socks, the branded socks. Ooh, that are
they're cool, too. Yeah.
And you can, my hat that I'm wearing will be featured in our silent auction, available for purchase. And we have some...
for our radio listeners.
Yep, exactly. And we have some kind of more like baseball cap style hats that are nice and breathable, good for summer hiking or days like today when it's
spring skiing,
very sunny up at Spring Gulch.
Well, let's describe your hat, just because it's pretty great.
Yes.
And it's a winter hat, and it's quite colorful, and the ball on top is, the pom-pom is huge.
And it's modeled after, we have a lot of people, there's kind of a classic old Swix hat.
Okay.
Traditional, and it's got these same color, red, yellow, blue stripes with a black base, and that was, I think of as being a very traditional Nordic ski, classic Nordic ski hat. Very so we've got the same colors featured in the winter hat and in the socks that people can choose from. So some good little modern twist on some classic Nordic styles.
We just have a few minutes left. Did you have any additional questions, Yesenia?
No, they were all answered.
Well, I noticed... Oh, go ahead. No.
Do you guys want to add something?
Yeah, anything you...
I'd like to add.
How far are you going to ski this year, Elliot?
Oh, boy. That, you are cruel. I used to always ski 40 or 50. And I might be lucky if I ski 20 this year. I mean, that will be my goal.
How are people keeping track?
We have marked courses. Okay. So some people do like to just record
on.
Yeah. But we, for that day, we do try to channel everybody on those trails that we have marked just for the flow of it when we have so many people out so that you don't have cross traffic on downhills and those kinds of things. So we have a 3.5K, a 10K, a 12.5K, and then a 15K Super Sisu loop that takes you through all of our new trails and has a lot of climbing, so you want to be prepared to use that course. And all of the 10K, 12.5, and 15K all will reach that Paul's Point aid station and take you up on Finlandia, where you get all the kind of the best views from the ski area.
Nice.
And we also have a 1K kids loop, and we're going to have some games going for kids on the practice field. And our groomers actually put in like a little mini luge course for kids right on the Bulldogger downhill right by our start. So there's going to be some fun stuff for kids to do too. So parents can take turns and bring everybody up.
And it's way fun. This is a great, this is a good thing. And the community's there. I mean, that road is covered with cars. There's a lot of people. It's very cool.
And we are going to close our Marion parking lot to get everybody to that Thompson Trailhead. So just for people to be aware that that's coming, we're going to put a sign up next week so people can have time to just know that that's coming. But yeah, parking... We hope that our parking lot will overfill and we'll have cars parked all along 108, and it's a good time.
Up to the
people
Y.
Get to add that to their kilometer count.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Well, thank you both so much for all the work you do to maintain an amazing asset here in the valley. And I wonder, because of the name Mount Nordic, Mount Sopris Nordic Council, is there ever like a vision of expanding beyond Spring Gulch or having stewarding other areas of Nordic skiing?
I haven't heard that. Okay. I think we've got enough challenge to make what we have really good. And that, you know, that, and to me, it's just astounding how much work, how much more money and more time and more work it is because of more people and the demand of a quality ski area. You know, in the old days, if we could get somebody to ride around in a snowmobile, we were like, oh, yeah, we've got a groomer. Now, better get it done.
Yeah. Well, and for people interested to try it out, there are some recommendations on where to rent gear in the article, as well as other details about participating for the event.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you both so much. You've been tuned to Everything Under the Sun, and coming up next is the regional roundup here on KDNK.